You are now experiencing the teaching ministry of Pastor Richard Martin of Life Community Church, located in Arlington, Texas.
Praise the Lord. All right. Are y'all ready for the word this morning? I said, are you ready for the word this morning? Say this with me, I have but one life. Okay, wake up. I have but one life. My life matters. So today, I will worship God and learn something. Amen. If you have your Bibles, I want you to turn to the book of Matthew, chapter 26. Matthew, chapter 26. We're going to start in the 31st verse. The title of the message this morning is Yet and Still. Yet and Still. And while you're finding that scripture, Pastor Fred, are we ready with the poem? Would you bring that up on screen?
You may write me down in history with your bitter, twisted lies. You may trod me in the very dirt, but still like dust, I'll rise. Does my sassiness upset you? Why are you beset with gloom? Just because I walk as if I have oil wells pumping in my living room. Just like suns and like moons, with the certainty of tides. Just like hope springing high, still I rise. Did you want to see me broken? Bowed head and lowered eyes, shoulders falling down like teardrops, weakened by my soulful cries. Does my sassiness upset you? Don't take it so hard just because I laugh. As if I have gold mines digging in my own backyard. You can shoot me with your words. You can cut me with your lies. You can kill me with your hatefulness. But just like life, I'll rise. Does my sexiness offend you? Oh, does it come as a surprise that I dance? As if I have diamonds at the meeting of my thighs. Out of the huts of history's shame, I rise. Up from a past rooted in pain, I rise. A black ocean leaping and wide, welling and swelling, I bear in the tide. Leaving behind nights of terror and fear, I rise. Into a daybreak miraculously clear, I rise. Bringing the gifts that my ancestors gave. I am the hope and the dream of the slave. And so, naturally, there I go rising.
For the one with a forgettable past, it's a poem of second chances. For the one who keeps failing in every endeavor, it's a poem of not quitting. For someone who has been backstabbed by words or action, it's a poem of redemption and integrity. And for anyone who has been in the darkness before or even right now presently, however the shade of that darkness, it's a poem of hope. And guess what? She didn't say anything new. God had already established that no matter your situation or circumstance, as his child, you have the ability to get up and hold your head up and walk in his truth and be everything that he's called you to be. Throughout the course of these 6-8 weeks, we have heard multiple messages, I believe, directly from God, speaking about our DNA and the fact that as a child of God, one who has accepted Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, you have a new nature, a divine nature that causes you, as we sang the song, by grace, God has shown you unmerited favor. And no matter how bad the situation or circumstance is, God is for you. You say amen to that? It's about our destiny we learn. We learn that, you know what, God has a plan for us. And we do things sometimes inadvertently to mess that plan up. But God is bigger than your mess ups. My God, I hope y'all hearing what I'm saying. God is bigger than your mess ups. He's bigger than your mistakes. And although people may have judged you and said things about you and talked about you, look, people are going to do that. Because people are people. But don't make the mistake of thinking that God is like people. He has a word that he has spoken over your life. And so many of us who have made mistakes continually, God is just waiting for you and for me to catch a hold of the vision that he has for us. We've had messages about the power of God's peace in our life. And to understand that at the very moment of the cross, that when he gave up his spirit and he died for us, at that very moment, the hindrances of our peace on this planet was taken care of. All of the things that would cause us to be stressed and to be worried and to be downtrodden and all of the negativity that surrounds us, Christ died for those things. Not just our physical healing, but our emotional healing. And not only did he die for our emotional healing, but he also died for the causes of those things. And so the person that caused you that pain or the circumstance that caused you that pain, God has rendered those things powerless. Amen. We learned throughout the course of this that there's also power in our thankfulness to God. And here we are, the last month of the year. And if you take for a moment and you begin to reflect about this year, oh, my God. Come on, y'all, stop playing. Oh, my God. And that's not to say that everything was bad. Because in this year of for us as a ministry, being brought to a place of completion, it wasn't about numbers. It wasn't about things. It was about us. It was about God showing us. Holding up the mirror and then allowing for circumstances to transpire so that we would find ourselves having to decide, are you going to work that word or are you not? Are you going to take seriously the things that I have equipped you with so that you would have victory in your life? Or are you going to continue to go through the motions and play the game of the world only to find yourself back in the same place wondering whether I'm God or not? Come on, keep it real. And for many of us, coming to a place where in the harshest of times, the hardest of times, the times where, for many of you praying for myself and Pastor Tracy this morning in regards to our strength, indeed, there are many times of discouragement. Can I keep it real with you for a minute? See, today's message is really about us just coming together to make a decision. Yet and still, we rise. Yet and still, despite the things that attacked us in our bodies, we rise. Yet and still, when we got the job and it seemed like everything was moving in the right direction, not only we lost the job, but maybe we lost our homes and we lost transportation. Yet and still, y'all help me out, we rise. That in our relationships with our family and friends and things of that nature where we felt like, you know what, enough is enough. I'm not talking to that person anymore. And God just made it a way for us to have to be all in their business and they're in our business. We had to stop, deal with our feelings, deal with our emotions. Yet and still, come on, y'all talk to me if you know what I'm talking about. See, we're not going into this new year carrying the weight of the false information that the enemy has given to us about God. God will not allow us, he will not allow me, he will not allow you, if you're sitting under this word, to continue to walk in a way and in a manner that is displeasing to the royalty that you are. Y'all hear what I said? He's not going to allow it. So you're going to be in this pressure cooker. You're going to be in this position where you're being challenged to make a decision for righteousness' sake. Our normal actions is to, when it gets hard, to retreat. retreat, run, hide. God is not allowing us to even hide anymore. He's not allowing us to find a place where we're comfortable in our misery, because where we are, there he is. Whispering in our ears, enough. Enough. Get up. Enough. Make a decision. Trust me. I know I'm supposed to do this, but I'm just not in a position to do it just yet. Oh, you of little faith. I don't know if I'm talking to somebody, because I'm not. I've heard those words in my ear. Where is your faith? And it made me upset. I'm being nice, because it made me more than upset. It angered me and frustrated me that when I was praying to God about changing the matter, he wouldn't change it. And then we came to church and we said, God is good. We didn't feel like God was good. Yet and still, we rise. See, for me, being on platform in the midst of everything that has transpired in my life and in the life of this church and the things that you see around and the people that talked about, and I'm just going to say it, people that talked about the fact that we were still in this, quote, mobile position, and that they talked about, well, I gave my tithe and that tithe was supposed to be going to another building and all that. That stuff hurts. Because I desire the same thing you desire. But check this out. We all have to desire what God desires. So we listen to the different things that may have been said. Yet and still, we rise. We have to rise. We have to stand up for what it is that God wants us to be and wants us to do. Why? Because at the end of the day, this is his plan. And before we can get all caught up in this Christmas season, oh, Jesus is the reason for the season, and get all depressed about the fact that we ain't even got our gifts that we asked for, we have to come to ourselves and recognize how far he's brought us thus far. Yet and still, we rise. I don't know what your personal situation and circumstance is at this moment, but I want to give you 3 points and then we're going to be out. But before I give you those points, I want to encourage your hearts with this text of scripture. Could we bring the scripture up now? Amen. Yet and still we rise. Then Jesus said to them, meaning his disciples, all of you will be made to stumble because of me this night. For it is written, I will strike the shepherd, and the sheep of the flock will be scattered. Verse 32. But after I have been raised, I will go before you to Galilee. Verse 33. Peter answered and said to him, even if all are made to stumble because of you, I will never be made to stumble. Jesus said to him, assuredly, bruh, that's in my... Bruh, really? But that's me translating the PR translation. Assuredly, I say to you that this night, before the rooster crows, you will deny me 3 times. Peter said to him, even if I have to die with you, I will not deny you. And so said all the disciples. Yeah, we with you. And Jesus came with them to a place called Gethsemane and said to the disciples, sit here while I go and pray over there. And let's stop there for a moment, because I want to focus on Peter for a minute. And I want to focus on the fact that throughout the course of everything that we heard and everything that we learned, I pray that you were not only inspired, but that you were encouraged. Not only were you encouraged, but that you realized what it is that you have in your possession as a child of God. I pray that throughout the course of these things that we've learned, if you need to be reminded, they are online at our website and it's free to watch. It's free. to encourage your heart in regards to what it is that God has been speaking to us. I need you to understand that God was not just giving a sermon so that we can do church, but he was in fact speaking to our spirits because of the things that we're going to experience going into 2014. We can't go with the dead weight of 2013. And we can't wait till December 31st to prepare for the new year. We need to begin now. Getting our hearts right and getting our minds right. And so we've had all of these wonderful messages and through those messages to be able to shout the victory, because we have victory in the name of Jesus. Is anybody out there hearing what I'm saying, or are y'all still dealing with the baggage? That no matter what you have experienced, you have the victory. No matter what goes on, no matter what they do to you, you are, he declares, more than a conqueror. Isn't that good news? Now the issue is, and what we've been learning is that God is saying, I know what I said, but do you know what I said? Because here's a situation that's going to challenge you to either walk in what I said or walk in what you've been walking in. Has anybody been experiencing that? And what we're positioned to do in the midst of the pain and in the midst of the frustration, in the midst of all of that, is to declare, yet and still, I rise. Yet and still, I rise. We've been sitting under a word that has been telling us and teaching us some of the deeper things of God's heart about how he sees us. His grace being sufficient for us no matter what's going on. I'm not going to take this thing for you. In fact, I'm going to allow it to remain so that you know that I'm God. God even changing the course of how we pray to him. Why? Because he doesn't want us to pray, oh, God, take this from us. But in fact, God, your will be done even in the midst of this. Yet and still, I rise. God wanting us to take a different position as we're dealing with the things in the spirit. Many of us don't know how to deal with things in the spirit. We've been watching other people, but yet in and of ourselves, we're not quite sure how to deal with this. And God is pushing us to say, seek me in this matter, because in the spirit is where I reside. And so we have choices that we need to make. In the midst of the pain, God has given us a word to let us know, in the end, you win. In the end of whatever you're going through right now, you're going through. In the midst of the challenges that you have, because you got just so much stuff going on with your schedule, if you just stay focused on what I've said, you're going to make it through. But you're not just going to make it through, but even your enemies are going to have to bless you. Even your enemies are going to have to come to you and declare to you, your God is the real God. See, I don't know if some of y'all believe that, but this is what God is setting us up for. But you need to be ready for that, because many times when our enemies come to us, then we want to gloat. That's right. God is my God. Yeah. No. Because the end result is something that Peter experienced. So let me just lay out to you what I found out with Peter. Peter was a big mouth. And Peter was, at this point in time, listen to what I'm saying, at this point in stage in the game, he was a coward that talked big, but when it came down to it, he retreated from what he was taught, what he was shown. He retreated from it. He retreated scared and fearful of what was going to happen to him. Y'all know the story that Jesus declares to him, because he's like, yo, if everybody abandons you, it don't even matter. I'm going to be right there. You getting whooped, I'm getting whooped. Anybody ever been around Christians who's like, well, I'm going to be there for you. I'm going to pray you through. And then when you come, they like, well, wait a minute. Wait, I got things. And we get upset with them. But the reality of it is that they're no different than we are in certain intervals when we've made promises to do something for people and we just didn't do it. What does that say? It says that at the end of the day, while we love our brothers and sisters, you need to depend on God. And you need to trust God with the people that he brings your way that's going to actually stand with you. Peter, he made it very clear. It don't matter what happens. It don't matter what happens. I know what you're saying, Jesus, but it ain't going to happen with me, bro. I got you. You my dude. If they kill you, I'm dying right there with you. Jesus was like, You can only imagine. Let's be real. Remove yourself out of the Bible for a minute and just imagine Jesus, who knows what's about to happen because the Father has been speaking to him. And even down to this issue of Peter's life. Peter, for real, dude? I'm telling you without a doubt that you're going to run into situations. And when those situations happen, you will deny me. Not once, but three times. I want to pull this first point out to you. First, God knows you. God knows me. And what does he know about you and me? He knows that you and I, we are flaky. I know y'all don't want to hear that because y'all got the victory. Amen. And you are more than conquerors. Amen. And you're going to have breakthrough in your situation. Amen. But God also knows you're flaky. I'm flaky. He knows that when it's time for a transition that's there to change the world, that a lot of us, if not all of us, because mind you, he was speaking to all his disciples, and basically all of them were going to fall off. I know you're going to fall off. I know you're going to be flaky, but I know you. See, here's the part that you don't know that I know about you. There's a part of you that I can see that you don't even see yet. There's a part of you that I see that you don't even know exists yet. And I'm going to allow you to say what you're going to say. See, because many of you, Jesus speaking to all of us, many of you, you know what was before, but I'm trying to show you something new, which means you don't have the equipment yet to deal with the new. You gotta fall away from all of that other stuff first so that you can become the person that I see you being for this new dynamic. Listen to me. Look at your neighbor and say, you're not going to stay the same. You're not going to stay the same. See, the person that you're looking at right now, you see them now from the aspects and the issues of their past hurt and their past frustrations and their past victories and their past triumphs in this year. You're seeing them in past tense. But God doesn't see us in past tense. He already knows. And if you're past tense, you're flaky. In your past tense, you weren't praying like you're supposed to. In your past tense, you weren't going to church as much as you probably should have. And even when you promised me, you were like, oh, man, sorry, Lord, I got up late. I know you. But I don't see you in your past tense. I don't see you even in regards to the things that have just happened when you don't know what's going to happen to you. You don't know what decision to make. It doesn't matter. I know what you're going to do if you just get through this. Get through what, Lord? The fact that you're going to fail me. Are y'all hearing what I'm saying to you? The fact that you're going to miss me. Although you in your heart right now, in where you are, you know you love me and you know you want to do your best and you know you want to, you're going to fail me. And you're not just going to fail me one time. You're going to fail me again and again. But that's okay. I know you. And I know the you that you don't even know yet. I know the you that is not just about you, but it's about the people around you. Oh my God. It's not just about you getting your blessing, but you being on a mission to make sure that people around you are taken care of and are looked after. You don't know that you about you, but I know that you about you. Will you walk with me to get to know the you that I know instead of the you that you know? My Lord. Yet and still, we rise. God knows us, and he knows that we're going to miss him. We're going to mess up. And listen to me, I'm not talking about, now watch this, I'm not talking about these frivolous sins that we have found ourselves dealing with in times past. I'm not talking about those things where you ought to, at this point by now, be delivered from. I'm not talking about that stuff. I'm talking about this walk with him, this journey with him that is not easy for the child of God. Why? Because we're living in a hostile, toxic, death ridden society, and it's all around us. And he says, but don't be afraid. You're in the world. You're not of it. What am I not of? You're not of the toxic environment. You're not of the depression that surrounds you. You're not of the death that surrounds you. In fact, I've created you to be salt and light. Salt, a preserver. Light, information about what's real in regards to who I am. I've called you to be more than what you are. Some of us are afraid. I dare say that Peter was afraid. Because when the first challenge came, it was a challenge, one, of connection. Weren't you one of the ones that were with him? And Peter said, nah. Nah. Now, we read the story and we know he's saying nah, but how many times in our relationships with people as we're dealing with things that come to us, and mind you, this was a confrontation. Aren't you supposed to be a child of God? Now, let me be real, because this is family. And if you're visiting, you're family too. Many people have come to many of you and said, oh, you go to Life Community Church? And many of you, because of what may or may not have happened in regards to your relationship with people, you said, nah. Hey, I'm just saying, don't look anybody, just look straight ahead. Some people have done that. Some people have disconnected from their relationship with this ministry simply because there was a challenge of something that happened in the midst of us here. And they denied the place where God said, this is where you're going to be fed. They denied the aspect of, this is the place where you and I, we're going to do this one-on-one. They've denied those things, but God says, yet and still, you'll rise. And it's not about Life Community Church, but even in the family of God, there are people who are challenged with who they are as a child of God, and yet they respond in the negative. No, I'm just like you. I'm just like you. Things going on at the job, and people walking around, and they're getting upset, and they're responding in that mannerism, and they're looking at you in the corner of their eye saying, okay, child of God, how are you going to respond? And to be honest with you, we responded just like they responded. We turn a blind eye to certain things, certain levels of integrity and standard that God said, establish in your home, this is how it's got to be. And yet we kind of backed off when the challenges came because we wanted peace. Come on now. And we've all done it. We've made excuses. When the challenge for us to just step up in terms of our integrity as men, we backed off. Said, let the wife go. Let her go to church. It's cool. Come back and tell me what they said. When God himself has come to you and said, you have to step your game up. And you can't be the past tense you. You're going to have to begin to walk in this new you that you don't even know. And you're going to have to get to know. And you can only do that through a relationship with me. Peter denied him the first time. He denied, one, the connection that he had with Jesus. Then he's asked again, wait, didn't we see you? Hey, didn't we see you with? And again, he adamantly denied the fact that he was with Jesus. Jesus is now going. He's being judged. He's being unrighteously judged. And Peter is following, but he's right there. And people recognize him. And they're asking, but weren't you? Hey, isn't this one of his? And he's like, no. I'm not. And so the second aspect of what he does and what we do is we deny the intimacy. The closeness that we have with God. How do we do that, Pastor? How have we done it? Because when things got really, really hard, when we should have drawn closer to him, God, I need to be in your house. Lord, I need to be around your people. No, what we've done, we retreated to the bar. We retreated to the people who were just out there because we just wanted to be normal. My God, y'all not. Are we good? Are you mad? Don't be mad. Just listen. The second part of it is things began to get hard. We began to look like we were still not of the world, but we began to look like we just want. Look, I just want to be normal. I don't want to have to pray more. I don't want to have to dig into. I don't want to have to do that. It's too much. Why can't I just be like everyone else? Who am I talking to? Listen to me. I'm just going to go to church. I'm just going to listen to the pastor. It don't even matter because the praise and worship, that it's cool, but I don't even like singing anyway. So I'm going to come a little bit afterward. That way nobody has to see me. I don't have to see them. And when pastor is done, I'm going to get up. I know he was talking about me, but I'll let him know afterward that he was talking about me. But I'm not going to stay there. Because I'm not comfortable, not only with the connection, but I'm not comfortable with the intimacy. You are a child of God. No. I'm normal. I'm just regular. I'm a church goer. I go to church. I love God. I confess Jesus as my Lord and Savior. My favorite scripture, I don't know, but that's not your business. I'm saying we can't go into the new year carrying this old stuff. And the Spirit of God is challenging us, yet and still you rise. Why? Because I see you in a way that you don't see yourself. And I'm allowing these things to happen. I know what you said, and I know you got the victory. I know you know it. But do you know it? And the Lord, his MO doesn't change. If you're going to know me the way I need you to know me, you're going to have to walk through some things. And when you walk through those things, you're going to have to find it in yourself to find the Spirit of God that's in you to help you deal with it instead of you dealing with it, because we don't deal with it well. Listen to me. Peter walked on water in the midst of a storm. You can say what you want. However, the length of time that he walked, 2, 3, 4 seconds, probably more, a minute and a half, and began to sink. The fact of the matter is Peter walked on water. Peter was one of the three that was able to witness Jesus being transfigured. He saw Jesus in the fullness of who he was as the divine God that we serve. He saw this, y'all. Peter, he was the one who had his hand in the basket, and this is Pastor Rich now. He had his hand in the basket, and as he was giving the bread and the fish out, he realized there's more stuff in here than what we started out with, y'all. Peter was there when that miracle happened, not once, but twice. Y'all read it, 4,000 fed, 5,000 fed, and even more with women and children. Peter was there. Peter was there, and he experienced the connection. He experienced the intimacy. He knew who Jesus was. Peter was the one who declared by revelation of God himself, "You are the Christ, the Son of the living God." Peter was the one, and Jesus declared to him, "Look, man didn't reveal that to you. My Father in heaven talked to you directly." Yet and still, Peter didn't rise for a moment. Peter following along what was happening with Jesus and watching him now bear the scars on the stripes on his back. He's standing right there. And a little girl comes to him and declares to him, "You were one of his disciples." He was one of his disciples. He was. And the Bible tells us that Peter, he responded not so nicely. So I said he spoke French. He spoke in tongues. No, he denied with a passion his relationship with Jesus. He denied with a passion, more importantly, the assignment that God would have for him to represent me. Even when it gets hard, it was an assignment in that last denial, because now it wasn't an issue of aren't you the one? It was you are the one that was with. And he said, no, I was not with him with all the things that he set for us to do, for all the things that you bore witness of that I was there with. No, I wasn't there. It wasn't me. It wasn't me. But you were there. You were there when he healed your body. Talking about you now. You were there when he delivered you out of that alcoholism and that drug abuse. You were there. You were there when your child was acting a fool and you prayed and they began to turn the corner. You were there. You were there when you were struggling and fighting for your marriage and it wasn't quite going the way that you needed it to go and you saw God intervene. You were there. You were there when things were going all around you and people were disconnecting with you, and they were saying that they didn't need you and not so many words. You were there when you didn't have no money. You were there. You were there when you didn't have the transportation. You were there. You were there. You were there when you asked, you know you didn't study, but you were there and you asked God to help you, and you turned around and you got that 95 on it, and you were like, ooh, look what I did. You were there. You were there time and again. You were there time and again when you dishonored and you disrespected your mom. You disrespected your dad. You were there time and again, and they kept taking you back, and they kept watching over you. It kept shooting. You were there. You were there. Because God had an assignment for you, and you denied that you had any kind of relationship with him. And not only did you deny, but you just forcefully, it had to be something different. Fate. It had to be something different. Oh, those people just knew. There had to be something. You fought hard not to acknowledge your relationship with God. You was there. Yet and still, we rise. See, after that third denial, you know the story. The rooster crows. And immediately, Peter is reminded of what Jesus said about him. And he cried, the Bible says, he wept passionately. He wept, that's my word, but he wept hard because he realized, I messed up. More importantly, he realized, God knows me. He, as much as I determined to be this front of a believer, he saw me for who I am now. Y'all feeling me? No matter what you do here, no matter what you decide to do, insofar as church is concerned, it's not relevant to what God is looking at right now. Because he's not looking at you in the fact that you came to church. It doesn't matter. God is looking at your heart. He's looking at my heart. And it is his desire for you to get to a place like Peter, to understand, for all that we know about our victory, all that we know about what he's provided for us, all that we know about his goodness, all that we know about his grace in our lives, all that we know and we've heard and maybe we've even sung, that at the end of the day, God looks right into your heart and he sees right where you are right now, and he recognizes there's some things in the past that you're trying to carry over into your future, and I can't allow you to do that. And in a very practical sense, God is calling us out to say, all right, now let's keep it real right now, because the rooster is crowing. There's a new day that's coming. And if you are the same way that you were when before it crowed, I can't use you like that. I love you. I'm always God, and I'll always extend to you beyond. But this is about my kingdom right now. See, the issue with Peter wasn't just about Peter being saved and him having the information, but it was about God preparing him for kingdom business. That means that everything that was of his past, all of his bravado, did I say that right? Bravado. All of his pride. All of his recognize, I'm Peter. If nobody got you, Jesus, I got you. All these cats, they fronting on you. I'm not the one. I got you. He was the most cowardly when it actually came down to it. But that's okay, because Jesus knew that. Peter, you a punk, dude. But I'm going to use you, because I want the world to see that what you were, that I don't need that. Oh, my God, y'all didn't catch that. All this hype that you're giving me, that's not the part that I'm looking for. The boldness, I gave that to you. We're going to use that. All this big mouth stuff, we ain't using that. All this, I can do it, and nobody, I don't need nobody. We're not using that. I want to break you down to your very last compound. And I'm going to get at the root of you, and you are a coward. You're really afraid, but that's okay, because you're going to need me, because I'm going to put you right back in the forefront. But when you go, you're not going to go in your power. You're going to go in my power. It's not going to go in your skill and your strength. There's elements that I'll use, but it can't be about you. When you go to school and you're dealing with the things that you're dealing with, it can't be just about you. You have to understand, why are you getting this education? It's for kingdom. I've experienced this hurt and this pain. Why did I experience this hurt and this pain? Because God has a plan for you to talk to somebody about the pain that you've experienced and how you were able to overcome. How did that happen? God broke me down. God broke me down, and he had to break me down. Why? Because he had to show me who I really am. Look at your neighbor and say, break it down. Y'all still love me? I'm going to share this second and third. The second part is Peter experienced forgiveness. But he experienced forgiveness in light of his repentance. And this is where the issue of our pride now kicks in, because Peter was probably the most prideful person that there could be insofar as his character depicted in the word. He was the man. He felt like I was the man. He's like, he's the man. And he positioned himself to always be in the forefront. And yet the Spirit of God breaks him down to a place where he recognizes how much God knew him for who he was. He wept and he retreated. He wept and he retreated. He wept and he hid. And many of us, when we know we've disappointed God, we want to be far away from God. We want to be far away from who he is. Why? Because we find ourselves not worthy. We find ourselves having disappointed ourselves and understanding our relationship with God. I disappointed God. I disappointed him because what I knew of him and what I knew about him, I didn't do that. I did what I normally do. And how many times am I going to do what I normally do? Well, Peter did it 3 times, and he was with Jesus. We are some 1,500 to 2,000 years removed. Cut yourself some slack, please. Cut yourself some slack in this light. You didn't witness what Peter witnessed, and yet God says that you're going to do greater things than what Peter did. Oh, my God. Cut yourself some slack in this aspect to understand that the same God that Peter worshiped is the same God that we worship today. And that when Jesus rose from the grave, he asked about Peter. Where's Peter at? How's he doing? And his encounter, one of his first encounters, was with Peter. And in fact, when Peter got the news that Jesus had actually rose from the dead, he was the first one to run back to the Lord. I'm saying to each and every one of us here, while you're cutting yourself some slack, please remember, you got to go back to the one who loved you from the beginning. Pastor, doesn't mean you have to start over? No, you just have to start anew. See, because he's not trying to rehash the stuff from the past. All that is done. He's already broken you down. He's already brought you to a place where it's like, I see you for who you are. Now allow me to forgive you of that and be done with it, because I don't remember it anymore. And now let's move forward. Is anybody ready to move forward in the things of God? You see, and I'm going to just call it right now, because, you know, there's some things that are happening here in this ministry. And if I don't do anything at the end of the day, I'm going to tell you the truth. Young people in here, young people, you don't have time to be like the people that are around you. You don't have time for it. You don't have time to try to fit into their program, and because you will not fit. God will hound you. God will haunt you in a righteous way. He will be on your case because he needs you now. He doesn't need you when you become an adult. He needs you now to represent and demonstrate his kingdom. So whatever it is that's happening and why you're going through what you're going through is because God is not going to allow you to be like them. He's not going to allow it. So get yourself in agreement with what God is doing in your life right now. Stop with the, please listen, stop with the getting the tattoos and stuff. Not because tattoos are bad, but because you're trying to fit into a system and into a lifestyle that is not what God wants you to do. It's not what God wants you to do. I want y'all to hear me clearly. The issue of tattoos is not the issue. The issue is you trying to fit into a system that doesn't belong to you. Stop. Stop it now. People are leaving this planet not fulfilling their purpose. And things are tight now. We need you to represent the kingdom of God. So forgive yourself, whatever it is that you've done. Whatever it is that you've done, forgive yourself. Allow God, the forgiveness of God, to come into your heart. Repent, get this thing right, and let's move forward in what God has called us to do. Because yet and still, we rise. Last point, and then we're going to get out of here. God wants you to know that he knows you. He wants you to know that he forgives you. And finally, he wants you to know that he is for you. He is on your side. He's never left you. He's never forsaken you. He's right there for you. Luke 22, verse 31 and 32 says this, that about Peter. Jesus says, Peter, the enemy has asked for you, that he sift you like wheat. But I've prayed for you that your faith would not fail. And then afterward, praise God, thank you guys. But I have prayed for you that your faith should not fail. And when you have returned to me, strengthen your brethren. See, this that last part of Peter denying Jesus was this issue of the assignment. Jesus knew. I knew you're going to fail me, but I want you to realize that you're going to be restored. You're going to be brought back. That word return to, in the actual translation, it meant when you are converted. That means when you're changed to something totally different than what you were, then go and help your people out. Go and help you. How can you help them? Why? How can you help them? You're going to help them not with this prideful, you need to get right because Jesus is this, that. No, but please get right because God is going to break you down and you're going to need him to come back up. God is going to allow you to walk through some things. The scripture says that the enemy asks. So here's a ray of hope that you all know, need to know, and I need to know too. That the enemy has to ask permission to mess with you. Y'all hearing what I'm saying? Now you need to understand that your enemy, the enemy of your soul, is not playing. He takes seriously his job. But he's got to ask permission. He's got to inquire of his Lord and Master. Y'all don't understand that he's not on level with God just to do what he wants. He has to get permission. So you gotta understand something. God is allowing the stuff that you're going through, he's allowing it so that you would wake up to some things about you. I got money issues. Well, it's because you're spending too much of it. What are you spending it on? Whatever the devil's telling you to spend it on. You deserve it. Well, I don't know. I'm just saying. You have to understand, he's on assignment. He's only allowed to do what God allows him to do, but he's there to help you to see you. He asks us if you like wheat. I'm not taking him from his assignment because he's got his assignment. But what I will do is I'll pray for you that your faith not fail. Now watch this. I found this very interesting because Jesus knew Peter. Even though Peter denied him three times, it did not mean that his faith had failed. I'm going to say that again because y'all didn't get that. Many times when we fail God, we think sometimes it's because I had a lack of faith. It wasn't that you had a lack of faith sometimes. Sometimes it's a matter of God rooting out of you the things that hinder your faith that you have from moving forward. Well, I lost faith, so I'm not going back to church. No. It's not that you lost faith. It's that God was trying to get rid of that other stuff that blocks the faith that you already have from doing what it is that he needs it to do in your life. When you're converted, when you have returned, when you've converted, when that faith that you've had now is free to do what it needs to do, and you really know who you are, because I've shown you a little bit of you, go help people. Go help people who are about to walk through the same types of stuff. Go help people and talk to people about who I really am now. Go and show people that even though you may not have the material things or what have you that people have been preaching about, that he's still in you, you're in him, you love him, he loves you, and he's here to help you now move in your destiny for the kingdom's sake. Could you go do that now? God is challenging us today to come out of ourselves. See, the issue that Peter was dealing with, he started out about him. I will never. I know who I am in Christ. I know this. I know that. I'm going to break you down. And when I rise you back up, it's not going to be about you anymore. It's going to be about the people that I'm asking you to serve. Jesus. Do you know why we find ourselves stalled in our faith? Because when we get to the point where we know we've disappointed God Instead of allowing the Spirit of God to convert us, we stay right there. We stay right in that misery, and we stay right in that frustration. We stay right in that place where we feel like, well, this is as far as I'm going to go with God, so I might as well just go and do my own thing. He loves me. I'm going to still go to heaven. Not understanding, and it's something that Pastor Petrie said, that the issue of us filling our destiny is more important than our person. Y'all hear what I'm saying? The purpose that God has for you is more important than your person. And what we see here with Peter is that Jesus removed him away from just the person of Peter so that he would fulfill his purpose. I need you to be able to speak into the lives of people who I'm going to allow to have certain things happen, but because you know that experience, you can minister to them in love. And we get stalled with things that are happening because God is trying to get us out of ourselves. Look around you. There's a lot of persons that are about themselves and not about what God's purpose is. So they go from church to church to church trying to feel good. But God will always bring them to the place where, when are you going to allow me to do what I need to do in you so that I can use you for them? For them. Well, I don't know how to do nothing. You don't know because you don't know you like God knows you. I can't do that. Yet you right now in your past tense, no, you can't do that. But do you know your future tense? Do you know what God is trying to get you? Do you know what he's trying to position you to do? No, I don't know, Pastor. That's a great place to be. That's a wonderful place to be. Yet and still, we rise. But our rising has to come with this understanding. We can no longer pity-pat with God. Give me a blessing. Give me a victory. We can't do that anymore. We can't do that anymore. We can't be afraid anymore. We can't be discouraged with the happenings that are going on. The happenings are being allowed so that we can be broken down to that direct connection with God. God, I'm nothing without you. We sing it, but we don't mean it a lot of times. We say it, but we don't really understand it. And so we don't really want to say that because we know that's not keeping it real. And God says, that's cool. I know that's where you are. I know that's where you are. But will you allow me now to move you to a place of conversion? Will you allow that? Will you allow that? And I believe that in this place, in this room, with all of us that are here, you're here on purpose, that God is reached into your heart and said to you, as I feel like he said to me, for us, yet and still. Because a lot of stuff has happened. A lot of stuff has happened, good and bad, probably more bad than good, probably more negative and more or less things that disappointed and frustrated me than good, but yet and still. God is still good. Yet and still, I'm still here, and not just here surviving, but being positioned to thrive for God's kingdom. I don't know about you, but I'm ready for that. I don't know what God is going to do. I know that what they say about Pastor, you have the vision. What, right now, God has the vision. I'm just trying to figure it out right now, because this is something totally new that he's doing with us. Totally new. And just like Peter, at times, get afraid. At times, I'm not sure if this is going to work. But I do know something. I rise. And I do know this. It ain't just for me. I do know this, that there's a lot of us that we need to begin to ask God to forgive us right now of our actions that said, I'm comfortable right where I am. And I'm not going to do any more because, well, Pastor, you didn't use me like I thought you should use me. So I'm going to be good right here. And God is saying, no, stop it. There's more to you than what you know. You're waiting on the Lord to tell you, and he's been speaking to you. But he knows I got to get rid of all of this past tense stuff. And so I'm praying right now that you hear my heart in this message and not just take it for a message, because when you and I, we look around, it could get real depressing sometimes. It can get depressing because people who are not following the Lord like you following, it seems like they're doing a whole lot better than you. Seems like the young people that are around you as you're doing your thing and you're trying to live for God, it seems like they're okay the way that they are and what they're doing. And you want to be a part of that. I want to be okay. God is saying, you will never be okay because you're my son and my daughter. You will never be just average. You'll never just be comfortable. It's not going to happen. You're always going to be on the cutting edge of things that I'm going to do to change this world. Oh, y'all didn't catch that. You and I are always going to be right on the edge of falling. We're going to be on the cutting edge of things falling apart and failing. And yet, and still, we will rise because we are children of God. Put the past behind you. We've had a lot of people minister to us. As long as everything is good and you're blessed and everything is good, God is loving you. The kingdom is moving forward. And God is showing us it don't work like that. Something has to die before something changes. We're trying to hold on to this life. And he's saying, stop holding on to it. Stop it. Stop it. I'm landing right now. And I pray that you heard my heart. I hope you know that we're not going to go through the motions here at Life Community Church. I hope you know that we as a ministry, we're not normal. And for you to come and to be a part of this, it basically means that something's wrong with you. What are you saying, Pastor? What I'm saying is that you're going to have to dig in and stop trying to conform to churchology living. The Lord is not allowing us to do that. He's not allowing for us to be. So what you're doing to fit into a place where you can just come and go, this is not the place to do that. This ministry and the things that have happened in our own personal lives have put us to a place where we are always on the edge of God doing something big, and yet we retreat back, not converted. And God says, today we're going to be converted. Today, he's circumcising our heart. Today, we stop the insignificant behavioral patterns that churches do. And we put ourselves at risk because we dare to believe that God is going to be God in our lives. Y'all hear what I'm saying to you? We dare to believe that God is going to be God in our lives. So we need as much of him as possible. And we need to understand that the circumstances do not dictate our identity. Peter denied him 3 times. All he proved was what Jesus already knew about him. You're a coward and you're a liar. I'm still going to use you. You're soft and you're weak. But I'm still going to make you my point man. You show people this side of you that doesn't even exist, but I'm still going to show who you really are. Many of us are sitting here trying to be something as far as the church world is concerned. And God said, I'm not trying to have you be that. I don't need those people. I got enough of them. I got enough fake people. I need real people now. I need real people who love people. I need real people who are committed and faithful. I need real people who recognize, you know what, but for the grace of God, I wouldn't be here. I need real people who realize that. I need real people who, even while you're carrying sickness in your body, that you know that God is a healer, regardless of what happens. I need real people who know that, you know what, if I never have another relationship, I'm not going to do anything except for what God tells me to do. Real people. People who can look at you and say, when I ask you to pray for me, I'm not asking you to go through the motions. I'm asking you to join faith with me because I know that God is breaking you down just like he's breaking me down. So together we're going to move forward in our conversion. I don't need you to play with me. And when I go through stuff, please understand, I might miss it. Hello? If I'm going through something, I might say something that might hurt your feelings. I don't want you to charge it to my head and not my heart. It may have come out my heart, but it doesn't mean I love you any less. It doesn't mean I don't want to have any more less relationship with you. It's just I messed up. Can you love me still? I'm saying, y'all, I know we're doing this right now. Yet and still, will you rise? Yet and still, will you stand up and be a demonstration of the kingdom of God and what that represents? Will you? I declare that I will. To the best of my ability, I won't run anymore. But if I do run, just grab my collar. Say, you're going the wrong way. Amen? Now, come on, be real, because I'm going to grab your collar. Amen. Let's pray.
For more information on the teaching ministry of Pastor Rich Martin and Life Community Church, please call us at 817-468-9215 or visit us on the web at www.mylifemycommunity.org. For more information on the teaching ministry of Pastor Rich Martin and Life Community